the revelation of Jesus. I had about three lessons that the Lord was dealing with me about, starting on Monday and all day Monday and yesterday, and I didn't know which way to go. And then the Lord just kept bringing me back to the revelation of Jesus. So I'm going to teach on this topic, and I believe that this is going to really be a help to many, both near and far. So with that being said, let's be attentive with our hearts open and ready to receive seed on good ground that it can produce much fruit. Everyone say amen. Amen. So in Malachi chapter number 4, Malachi chapter number 4, starting at verse number 5, let's take a journey, and I like to start my journey in the Old Testament. All right, we should be able to explain Jesus from the Old and New Testament. The Old Testament points to Jesus, the New Testament reveals Jesus. So Malachi chapter number 4, starting at verse number 5, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." This verse is important for you and I to understand, because this was a prophetic word to the Jews, saying that before Messiah come, first Elijah is going to come. So the Jews, many of them, not all, but many, especially the Orthodox Jews, to this day are still waiting for Elijah to come. So many miss Jesus because they have missed Elijah. Malachi prophesied saying before he comes, Elijah is going to come first. We read it right here in the Word. So now let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1, we're going to start at verse number 11. Verse number 11, and it reads, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." Notice the right side of the altar of incense. The altar of incense is where you offered up prayers unto the Lord, and the right side represents power or authority. "And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." And verse number 17 says, "And he shall go before him. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Notice the verbiage in verse number 17 matches the verbiage in Malachi chapter number 4. It's the exact same verbiage. In Malachi chapter number 4, verse number 6, it says, "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers." In Luke chapter number 1, verse number 17, it says, "To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children." So the angel of the Lord here now is proclaiming to Zacharias that you are going to have a son. His name is going to be John, and he is coming in the spirit and the power of Elias. So whether they understood it in that moment or not, speaking of the parents, the angel of the Lord was letting them know that John, who is John the Baptist is going to be the Elias or the forerunner or the one that Malachi prophesied about that was going to come before the Messiah. And if you miss John the Baptist, you will miss Jesus. And so the reason many of the Jews rejected Jesus, it is because they also rejected John the Baptist. And those that received John the Baptist were the same ones that received Jesus Christ. We even see that many years later, 10 plus years later, in Acts chapter number 19. When Paul finds some disciples in Acts chapter number 19, and he asks them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And the Bible lets us know that these people responded by saying, we have not heard of the Holy Ghost. And he asked them, how were they baptized? They said they were baptized unto John's baptism. So these people were believers of John the Baptist and what he was preaching. So therefore, they were easily persuaded or convinced of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Once Paul relayed to them, remember, John the Baptist said, you should believe on the one that came after me. And then the scripture lets us know that they were re-baptized. That's why we re-baptize people if you were not baptized the first time in the name of Jesus Christ. And so they were re-baptized, and then Paul said, I'm not done with you. I got to get back to my original question, because we're talking about the Holy Ghost here. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, they received the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues and prophesy. And so now here is the angel explaining to Zacharias, here is the purpose of John. So now let's go to the book of Matthew. Let's turn back in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. Matthew 11, starting at verse number 11. Verse number 11, and it reads, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater, Jesus speaking here to his disciples, talking about John the Baptist. There's no one born of a woman that is greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied it until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias. So Jesus speaks plainly here that John the Baptist is just not some ordinary man. That John the Baptist was the Elias that you all have been waiting on, and that many of the Pharisees have been talking about, that Jesus can't be the Messiah because Elijah hasn't showed up yet. But Jesus comes and debunks that, saying that I'm telling you that this John the Baptist, he was Elias. And so you can't listen to the Pharisees and those that are in the temples saying that Jesus can't be the Messiah, or I cannot be the Messiah, the anointed one, because they're still waiting on Elijah. They're still waiting on somebody that's already showed up. Hallelujah. And that's why they miss Jesus, because they're still waiting on somebody that's already showed up. All right? He says, if you will receive it, because it must be by faith. Everything we do is by faith. We walk by faith. We live, the just shall live by faith. All right? That's why it says that our preaching is foolishness. All right? It's not talking about how we act or how we scream or yell or jump or shout or spit. That's not the foolishness that it's talking about. It's not talking about an action. It's talking about the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is what they consider foolishness. They consider us believing in the death, burial, and resurrection as foolishness. But unto us that believe, it is the power of God. That's right. Woo, hallelujah. It's the power of God to them that believe. And that's why I'm thankful to the Lord. No matter what we deal with or go through, we can always call on the one that we believe in. And I don't know about you, but he has came by and answered my prayers. So I tell people all the time, you've come too late. God has brought me too far. I already believe that Jesus is the answer. It's too late. It's too late. He's done too much for me. He's answered too many prayers for me. I believe that Jesus is the one. He said, if you will receive it, this is Elijah. Listen to what he says in verse number 15. No, let's go to verse number 14. I missed something here. If you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. In verse 15 says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. All right? So he's explaining it very plainly. So now let's go to John the Baptist. Let's go to the book of John, chapter number 3. And we're going to start reading at verse number 26. Book of John, chapter number 3, start at verse number 26. And it reads, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee, these are John the Baptist's disciples, coming to him, saying, he that was with thee, Rabbi, teacher, that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness. Now, this is very important. You should have this underlined or highlighted in your Bible because we're going to tie it into another portion of Scripture. To whom thou bearest witness. Okay? Behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Ye yourself, verse number 28, drop to 28, ye yourselves bear me witness. John now speaking to his disciples. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He must increase, verse number 30 now, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. John is not speaking of the flesh, the man Christ Jesus coming from above. The man Christ Jesus was born. He was born of Mary. There is theology out there that says that Jesus was with God in creation. That is not Bible. Scripture does not prove that at all. Matter of fact, if you understand your Old Testament again in Isaiah chapter 44 and 45 on multiple occasions, God says, I am the Lord and there is no one beside me. I created the heaven and the earth. I stretched the heavens alone. There's no God before me. There's no God coming after me. There's no God beside me. Matter of fact, in the book of Isaiah, the prophet says, I give my glory to no one. And so Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus, was not in heaven. Neither was there a glorified version of him in heaven during creation. The only one that was in heaven was God and God alone. And so that is very important to understand. The man, Christ Jesus, was born of Mary. All right? He was born of Mary, but there was an understanding and revelation that what was on the inside of the man Christ Jesus was God. All right. So, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from the heaven is above all. In John chapter number 1, I want you to remember this word, to whom thou bearest witness. In verse number 26 in John 3. John chapter number 1, let's start reading at verse number 29. John 1 and 29 says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Notice the language of the Bible, that he was a lamb, the Lamb of God, that perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And notice that the scripture lets us know that he came to take away the sin of the world. Notice the word sin is singular, not plural, because we call certain things bigger or smaller. Big lies, white lies. Big things, little things. Gross sin, that's okay sin. Sin is sin. And all sin could lead you to a lake of fire. So God does not view sin the way we view sin and categorize sin. However, God views it all the same. Sin is sin, and he came to take away all sin of the world. I'm so thankful that the Lord came to take away my sin. Amen. So that's why I'm not better than you, and you're not better than me. And that's why I can't look down on you, and I don't expect you to look up at me. I'm sorry, we're all equal in the eyes of God. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and I'm so thankful for the grace and the mercy of God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse number 30. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Woo, what great revelation here. Because Jesus was born 6 months after John the Baptist. But he says he was before me because John had revelation in that moment that I'm not just looking at the flesh, but I know what's operating that flesh. And what's on the inside of that flesh was before me. That's why we teach Jesus is God. That's why we teach Jesus is God. I teach to young people, my kids, I say, when daddy puts on this suit jacket, this suit jacket can do nothing without the person inside the suit jacket. The suit jacket's arm cannot raise unless I raise my arm. The suit jacket cannot turn unless I turn. The suit jacket can do nothing unless what's operating on the inside operates what you see on the outside. That was Jesus. Everything that Jesus did, everything, everywhere he went, it was God operating him, moving him. That's why Jesus can lay hands on the leper when no one was supposed to touch the leper, and they can be cleansed in a moment. Because he wasn't like any ordinary man. He was God in the flesh. Hallelujah. The flesh, like this suit jacket, after a while, it's going to not have its same color, not going to have its same feel. Going to get run down a little bit, can become discolored after a while. I teach my children and young people that's the same with the flesh. The flesh can get weak. The flesh can get angry. The flesh can be weary. The flesh can be frustrated. But what was on the inside of that flesh never grew weary, never got tired, never got thirsty. Was the Alpha and the Omega. Had no birthday, had no beginning, had no end. And so here he sees him coming, saying he is before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. Now, wait a minute now. What do you mean, John, you didn't know him? What do you mean by that, you didn't know him? Because every once in a while, we need confirmation. How many like confirmations from the Lord? Are y'all still with me, church? How many like confirmations from the Lord? God can give you a word. You know that word. You receive that word. You believe in that word. But every once in a while, it's nice to receive a little confirmation. Here it is. I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. Everybody say confirmation. Here it is. But he that sent me to baptize with water. Who sent John the Baptist with water? God did. And God gave John the Baptist confirmation. He says, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. He says, and I saw it. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John received a word from God long before he baptized Jesus, saying that one day a man is going to come to you, and I'm going to confirm to you that this is the Christ, the Messiah. This is the Son of God. You're going to see a spirit descend from heaven, and it's going to descend and abode upon him, and that is your confirmation to know that he is the one. So when you talk to people, Trinitarians, that say, see, there's the Father in heaven speaking, there's the Spirit right there descending, and there's the Son, there's three, that's a lie. There is not three. Right there in that moment was just simply confirmation to John the Baptist that Jesus is the Christ. Okay. So, God is omnipresent. God is all places at all times. God operating in the body of Jesus Christ, but also operating the heaven and the earth. God operating in the body of Jesus Christ, but also operating all things everywhere. God speaking down, confirming that this is the one, my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. But yet that same God is operating in the body of Jesus Christ, confirming to John the Baptist and to everyone else that this is the one. He is the Messiah. He is your Redeemer. The Spirit descending from heaven was confirmation for John the Baptist to know that this is the one that God told me was going to come after me. We do not split our Savior into three different personalities. We do not split our Savior into three different persons, saying that there is God the Father, one, God the Son, two, God the Holy Spirit, three. No, my friend, there is only but one God. There is only one God. There's only one God. I'm going to say it again. There's only one God. And Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 15. The very first words of Colossians 1:15 is on the screen. Who is the image of the invisible God? Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. But see, if you miss John the Baptist, you will also miss Jesus Christ. And this is why it is important to understand that John the Baptist was Elias, because the Messiah was going to come after Elijah. And Elijah has already come through John the Baptist. The Bible says in Colossians 1:15-16, it says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. When you pray, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything we do, whether it be word or deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is why it is important for us to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you here tonight, but I'm thankful that I've had the revelation to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It pleased the Father that it's all in him. It's him. That's why Jesus receives the glory, because Jesus is the image of the one. So when God says, I give my glory to nobody else, he's not giving his glory to nobody else, because Jesus is him manifest. It's not a separate identity. It's not a separate person. It's not a second person in the Godhead. It's not someone on the right of the throne. No, there's only one throne, and Jesus sits on that throne. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's why we glorify the name of Jesus. We magnify the name of Jesus. I'm not Jesus only. I'm Jesus everything. I'm Jesus when I wake up. I'm Jesus when I go throughout my day. I'm Jesus before I go to sleep. Somebody shout Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Amen. So let's just do a quick one God revelation. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. I'm going to read that again. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Was he talking to angels? No. Angels cannot create. Only God can create. Okay? Angels cannot create. They were created. Only God can create. Was he talking to another person that was next to him? We already established that. No way. There was nobody else there. Because if somebody else is there, that means somebody else, he's sharing the glory with somebody else in creation. And God doesn't share his glory with anyone. So who was God talking to? There's got to be a Bible answer. There is. Thank you for asking. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 11 is the Bible answer. Ephesians 1, verse number 11, is the Bible answer. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh, everyone say, all things. He works all things from beginning to end. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. God talks to himself. Has anybody in here ever been by yourself and said, what are we going to do today? Ain't nobody around. You are talking, let's see what we're going to do today. Nobody's there but you. So when you do that, don't let nobody laugh at you. Just say, I'm just being like my Savior. You more like God than what you think. Now you get the answer in yourself, we got a problem. Well, you get the answer in yourself. We got places for that. Praise God. We go come lay hands on you, pray for you. God was talking to himself. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That's why in verse number 27, it goes from plural to singular in Genesis chapter 1. It changes from plural to singular, that we were created in his image, his likeness. Because only one God created us. Hallelujah. So let's go back to the book of John now, chapter number 8. Jesus now is on the scene. We've established that Elias has come. How he has come? Through John the Baptist. And there's not another Elias. I don't care what false doctrine, what false prophet, what false religion is out there saying that they are Elias and the prophet Elias has come in them, or the spirit of Elias has come into them. You ought to listen to them. It is a lie. There's all type of false doctrine and false religion out there. Elias has already come. He's come through John the Baptist. So now we can receive Jesus because Malachi prophesied that Elias will come before Jesus would come. John the Baptist has come, Jesus has come, and now Jesus has to deal now with these Jews. Then said, John chapter 8, verse number 52, then said the Jews unto him, now we know he got a devil. We know he got a devil. Why? Why can they say this? Because they didn't receive John the Baptist. Do you see how the word just all comes together? They rejected him because they rejected John the Baptist. Now we know he got a devil. Abraham was dead and the prophets. And thou hast said, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Verse number 53, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Verse number 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Drop to verse number 57. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not even 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Verse 58, Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. How can a man say this? Because it wasn't the flesh talking, it was what was operating the flesh that was speaking before Abraham even was, I am. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning, I am the end. He told Moses, I am that I am. Before Abraham was, I am. There was something operating that suit jacket, wasn't it? Ooh, there was something operating that suit jacket. Hallelujah. There was something operating through that suit jacket. And see, can I pause here for a moment and preach here? See, that's what we need. We need something operating through our flesh. We need a spirit of boldness to operate through us, through our flesh. When we're challenged by people and challenged by this world, we don't need to speak with our flesh, but we need to allow the Holy Ghost to speak through us. We need to allow the Spirit to speak through us, something greater to speak through us. Before Abraham was, I am. Those Jews knew exactly what he was talking about. Why did those Pharisees and those Jews know that? Because that's all they had was the Torah. That's all they had was the Old Testament. That's all they had. They understood Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew the stories. They understood their scripture. They knew the stories of Moses. So when Jesus said that before Abraham was, I am, he was proclaiming to be God. This is not in my notes here, but remember when Jesus was in the house and some friends got a paralyzed man and brought him to Jesus and they couldn't get in. The Bible says they went up to the roof. They tore the roof off. Sometimes you just need some friends that can get you to Jesus. Hallelujah. Tore the roof off. The Bible says they lowered him down. The first words out of Jesus' mouth was the I am begin to speak. And he says, thy sins be forgiven. Well, that caused a lot of stir within the people saying, who he think he is? You can't forgive sins. Only God can forgive sin. So Jesus said, all right, I'll take on your challenge. That's Eddie Robinson version. That's not in the Bible, but that's ERV right there. I'll take on your challenge. So you know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He says, take up your bed, rise up and walk. Again, Jesus was letting the people know, I am God. I am God. I am God. Revelation chapter number 1, starting at verse number one, the very first five words of that verse says the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Verse number 8, Jesus says what? I am Alpha and Omega. Can y'all read this with me? Verse number 8, let's read it together. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord and worship the Almighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Almighty. Listen, church. Listen, viewers. Listen, both near and far. There can only be one Almighty. There can only be one Almighty. You can be mighty. You can have your mighty over here or over there, but there can only be one Almighty. Only one Almighty. Verse number 18 says, and Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. My friend, you don't have to go to hell today. I said, you don't have to go to hell today. It was created for the devil and his angels. You don't have to go there. Your family doesn't have to go there. Your loved ones doesn't have to go there. We have a heaven that's waiting on us. Hallelujah. My Savior, my God, he's got the keys. And he is the answer. You can turn to him today. You can repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and live a holy and righteous life. You can do it. Oh, yes. As I close, that's why Isaiah 9 and 6, a scripture that we know very well, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This scripture answers Mighty God and Almighty God in the same verse. Show me, Pastor. I will. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. There's Mighty God. Remember, I said there can only be one Almighty God. Well, where's that answer? The very next. The Everlasting Father. There's your Almighty God right there. And Isaiah said, there's one coming, and he's going to be the Almighty God. There's one coming, and he's going to be the Prince of Peace. Well, we found out that his name is Jesus. Somebody shout Jesus. He's wonderful. He's Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we preach Jesus. I said, we preach Jesus. I'm making the devil mad right now. We preach Jesus. We preach Jesus. The devil can't do nothing about it. We preach Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I said, the devil can't do nothing about it. We preach Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we worship him just for a moment? Let's worship Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We preach Jesus. We preach Jesus. We preach Jesus. We preach Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We call on the name of Jesus. We are healed in that name. We're delivered in that name. We're set free in that name. We preach Jesus. Hallelujah. Thou believest in one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes, and he trembles. That's why he can't do nothing when you say the name Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's got a bag up when you call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So don't you go around believing in more than one God. Even the devil don't even know that. The devil know better than that, that there's only one God. That's why when Jesus showed up, the devil still say, what you doing here? Why are you here? You here before my time? What you doing here? Because they knew that that was God manifested in the flesh. They didn't do that to nobody else. They weren't scared of nobody else. They said, what you doing here? See, some of y'all wrestling with some demons that it's been long past their time. Somebody need to go home and tell some devils, your time is up. I'm coming home with Jesus tonight. I'm coming home with the one that can rebuke you and bind you. Cast you back to where you belong. Let's clap our hands one more time unto the Lord. I thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the revelation of Jesus. Don't ever lose this, church. Well, I'm going to keep on preaching it, so we can't lose this. Amen. Jesus Christ being our chief cornerstone. This is what we're built upon. We are built upon the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'm not afraid to share it or tell it. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's in the name. It's in the name. It's only one God. There's only one God. There's only one God. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. He's Father of all, above all, through all, in you all. Hallelujah. It's Jesus. I'm thankful. I'm thankful I know who Jesus is. I'm thankful I know I've got revelation of who Jesus is.